Oh, man. Beautiful day. Glad you guys are here. Excited to jump into the message. But before I do, just a reminder that, the word that God gave me for our church, I really believe it's for all of us for this year, was connect, for us to connect first to him and then to other people. And this whole series called Connected is about connecting to the place of God, to the people of God, to the power of God, to the purpose of God, and to the plan of God. And so, the last two Wednesdays, we had some really cool things. We did a worship night that was packed out and just powerful and amazing, just connecting really to God and to each other. And then this past Wednesday, we had worship, but then we just let people share what God was doing in their life. So powerful, so cool. And this Wednesday night, we're actually not going to be here together. We're going to be, I'm just encouraging you, all of us, let's go to the courthouse downtown. The Walk for Life is at 6 p.m. And I'm excited about it because it's us standing for what I know God's heart is for protection of life. And we have a lot of people that are regularly and consistently involved in helping those who are abortion-minded recognize that there is another alternative, and it's an alternative for life. And they help them with both their pregnancy and in placing them in homes if need be for adoption, just giving them a variety of resources. And we actually have multiple board members from ABC. Can y'all raise your hands? I'm looking at a couple of them. One of them was playing guitar this morning. But I also want to take time to recognize the brand new director for New Life Counseling that we support. And we're just going to pray for her. Tabitha Dugas, can y'all give her a hand? Her husband, Corey, you can come on up. Corey, you want to come on up? Tabitha loves to publicly speak, so I'm going to... No? and so I just want us to recognize what God does, because we're talking about connection to people, to God, to people, and to purpose. And we were at the banquet this past year, and Corey and Tabitha were there, and there was an announcement that they weren't aware was going to take place, that the director of New Life was retiring. She was stepping down. And they kind of looked at each other and said, is that for us? I don't know. And it would have been a crazy God deal. And it kind of was. And so she just started full-time with New Life Counseling. Yes. And so we're just going to, I just wanted to bring this up as a story of what God does when you trust him, even when it seems crazy. So, it's a sacrifice and to take it's not a volunteer position, it's a paid position. However, it's pretty darn close. Y'all know what I'm saying? So why don't we just pray for them? Let's stretch out our hands towards them. Father, I just pray just blessing over Corey and Tabitha. Lord, I just thank you that your hand is on both of them. Father, I thank you that you've put in them a heart for missions. And just so y'all know, they oversee all of our foreign missions. And so I thank you that you've put just a heart and your hand on them for reaching people internationally. But you've also put a heart in Tabitha to do your work here locally. And so, Father, we just pray just your blessing on both of them. And, Father, I just pray that you protect, you guard, you guide Tabitha as she's at the helm of New Life Counseling. We just pray your blessing over her. Lord, I just pray that because of the life that you've breathed into her, that you use her to literally bring life to thousands in your name, Jesus. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Come on, give them a hand. Love you guys. It's cool to see what God does in people when we're just available. And so my heart is that I can be available. I know I'm like a pastor and this is what I do and I get paid to do it. And I can't believe, honestly, I get paid to do it because I love it. We are all called to be available for God. And thank you for being here today. I'm glad that you're available now. But can I tell you, the most powerful times of availability are not on Sunday mornings. They're throughout the rest of the week. And so my heart today and the message today is how we can connect to each other. And what happens when we connect to each other? Because it's life. You know, Wednesday we had time for people to share, and we had a young guy that came up that had been incarcerated for quite a while, and God brought him to Lake Charles. It was kind of crazy how it happened, but God brought him here, and he just told the brief story of what God had done in his life. And what was so funny is that morning, as a staff at our staff meeting, we were praying, and I just really felt like this guy, like it's amazing what God's done in him, but like I was overwhelmed with gratitude that God brought him here. And they're brand new, but like there was just something in me that's going, man, I have to value and honor the connections in my life. And if my heart is for other people to value my connection, but they should be, and it's very easy to get self-focused in a relationship, is it? Come on, is it? If y'all married, you know what I'm talking about. You ever had knockdown dragouts? Let me tell you what the root of that knockdown dragout is in your life with anybody, whether it's a spouse, whether it's a brother, a mother, a husband, it's you. Now, there may be an issue that's way bigger, but there's something inside of us that decides to stand up for ourselves. And listen, there are moments where we should stand up for what is right, and sometimes that involves us standing on what we know principally is a good thing for us, but can I tell you, you can still do that in humility. Are y'all out there today? Okay. And my heart is that we can connect to God, but we can choose connection with each other. So we're gonna look, I gotta look at my notes, but it's really just out of the Bible. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2. Last week, I talked about just that we're called to connect to the place of God, the people of God, the power of God, the purpose of God, the plan of God. Today, I want to talk about one thing. I actually wrote another one, but I'm not gonna preach that part of it. I want to talk about connection to the people of God. We need to be connected to people. It's biblical. Ecclesiastes tells us that it's better to be connected to other people, because when we fall down, if we're connected to somebody, they can help us up. If you got two friends, listen to me, that's a strong bond right there. My heart is that you're connected to people. And we read out of Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2. In Acts chapter 1, we see that Jesus has told his disciples to wait on him. You're gonna have to wait. Let me just tell you, a lot of the Christian life is waiting. It's waiting. I mean, we're in the Lord's army, and if you've ever been in the army or if you've been in the service, you know this. The culture of hurry up and wait is for real, is it not? Any vets up in here? Come on, is it a hurry up and wait culture? There's a lot of waiting and a lot of downtime. Unfortunately, it seems in the kingdom of God that there's pointless waiting sometimes. Have you ever felt that way in your walk with God? Have you? Like, God, what's the deal? Like, I thought you were gonna show up. Like, we're singing about, you know, we need a move. Yeah, we do, God. Where are you at? You need to hurry it up, because this move's taking forever. Y'all ever felt that way? No, I have. Like, God, what's going on? Like, why is it taking so long? And there's something that you need to know about waiting on God. There is never a moment that is wasted, because in the moments that we think are a waste, there's really a formation that God wants to do in us. And there's sometimes where waiting just reveals what's inside of you. I remember the story my grandfather told, that he was at a red light in Lafayette, and that's where he lived, in Lafayette. And he had been waiting there forever. He'd been waiting there forever. He's like, I've been there for like 15 minutes. Wouldn't go. And my grandmother was like a straight arrow. It's like, it's red. You're not going to go. And finally, he gets so frustrated that he goes. And as soon as he goes, he gets pulled over by a cop. And he's like, there was nobody coming. I've been waiting for like 15 minutes. And the cop said, no, it's a 7-minute red light. And he had been there for like 6:58, you know? Oftentimes when we move outside of the season of waiting, it's right before things truly begin to change. So waiting's not a bad thing. Jesus told his disciples, wait for me. You're gonna receive power when the gift of God, the Holy Spirit, is poured out on you. And if you read Acts chapter 1, you know what happens. And like, they're sitting together, they're waiting. And then all of a sudden they look at each other, and these flames of fire above their head, they begin to speak in other languages. They're apparently pretty freaked out. They leave the room, and they realize that they're speaking languages that other people who were there for a festival from all over the world, all these Jews had returned for the festival of Pentecost, that they're speaking in languages that they understand. And they're telling them the truth of God's plan, and that his Savior was sent, his Messiah. And Peter steps up that day, and he preaches a message, and 3,000 people have a revelation. Oh my gosh. Jesus really is the Messiah. And they surrender their life to him. Powerful. All because people waited together. They waited together, they waited in the place of God. And then we see connection to the people of God. So in verse 41, it says, you know, Peter preached and 3,000 people had that revelation. Here's the next verse, chapter 2, verses 42. I've got two passages of scripture today to read, and that's it. So all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. And a deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place. They shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions, and they shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper. They shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of the apostles. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. It's pretty cool, isn't it? What does it look like to be connected to people? Well, I think this passage of scripture is actually really clear. Can we put verse 42 back up there? All the believers devoted themselves. What does that mean? And they devoted themselves to a few things. They devoted themselves to teaching, like to teaching, to fellowship, to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, sharing in meals, to prayer. But they devoted themselves. And here's what you need to know about connecting to people. And it's the first point that I have. You can put that up on the screen. They're kind of loose points, so y'all just roll with me, okay? Connection to God's people is a call to live devoted. You know what that means? It's a choice. It's a choice. I said this last week, but I want us to get it because it is a choice. You choose to commit to people. That's hard and that's painful. Have you ever had relationships go bad or get sideways and crazy? Have you? Yeah, I have. Seemed like 2019 was the year for that. It was kind of wild and horrible and terrible, and I hated it. It was miserable. Seemed like relationships went sideways. Even like when I'm trying to make sure that they don't go sideways, like doing what I can to not, it's like that was the very thing that made them go sideways, even though the intention was for them not to go sideways. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Have you ever been in crazy seasons? Yeah. Let me tell you. There's in every one of those sideways seasons in life and in church, particularly church. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I know a lot of people that have been hurt real bad up in church because relationships went sideways. Let me tell you how you get through it, how you stay connected, and it's this right here. To live devoted, I'm choosing to stay committed. Listen, I know what it's like to have sideways relationships because I'm married. And anybody that's been married for any length of time realizes that it can be a slippery slope. And marriage can be wonderful literally one moment and then crazy the next. Isn't that true? Or is it just me? Maybe I'm just the crazy one. Some of y'all are like so even. Like the people that say, we've been married for 24 years and we've never had a single argument. I'm like, you lie. You're lying, you're lying, you're lying. Don't give that to me. I know that you're lying. What sees us through those seasons? Devotion. I choose to live devoted to God and the people in my life. Listen, not everybody in your life is going to make the same choice. And sometimes relationships don't just go sideways. They go to pieces. Because not everybody's going to choose this. But if we're going to connect with God's people in a church, in life, and let me remind you that church is not Sunday morning. Church isn't a building. Church isn't a service or a program. Church is the people that surrendered their life to Christ and do life together. That is the church. This is just a moment for us to connect. Like, I've actually said many times, like, we don't need to be so polished. Like, we are good at polished. I don't want our services to be polished. I want it to be connective. Because I want us to recognize that there's real relationship for the having if we want to have it. Not everybody wants to have it. But if you want to have it, I want to make that easy so that you can recognize that there's real life, not just in Jesus, but in his people too. But it begins with this, to live devoted. This is why one of my life verses is Psalm 68:6. God makes a home for the lonely. You don't join a church. God joins you to a church. There's a big difference. God makes the home, not you. It's not your decision. Your responsibility in finding a church home is to seek God and pray and let him speak and follow his leading, follow his light, follow his peace. And then when he joins you somewhere, be devoted, please. To any church, wherever it is, be devoted to the people in your life? Does that mean that you tolerate bad behavior and abuse? What do you think? Come on, do you? No, you don't tolerate the bad behavior and the abuse. It's probably going to happen around you at some point. Somebody's going to say something mean and ugly to you that could be construed as abusive, or something stupid happens. Like yes, that's junk happens in life, because this is life and we live in a broken world with broken people. And even the followers of Jesus don't get it right all the time. All you have to do is read the Gospels and find out that everybody but Jesus was kind of jacked up a little bit. Isn't that true?
Yes.
Choose to live devoted. Okay, devoted to what? Okay, well, he kind of lines it out. We can put that scripture, verse 42. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That's the first one. Can I tell you what that is? You have to choose to be a learner of God's word, because they weren't just pontificating about some profundity that was in their heart. That sounds kind of cool, doesn't it? I am pontificating about a profundity that has been a tremendous revelation upon my brain. Let me share that with you. No, we're just taking the word of God and we're making it simple. That, because God speaks to us through his word. So take the word and read it. And like, we are devoted to teaching. Like, that means from their perspective, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. In other words, I'm going to be a lifelong learner. So here's my question. Are you a lifelong learner? I'm going to challenge you to be a lifelong learner, because listen to me carefully. I'm speaking to a room of leaders. Some of you know that you are. Some of you don't. But know this, you have influence. People are aware of your presence, even if you think that they're not and you feel like you're overlooked. Listen to me carefully. People are aware of your presence. And when you recognize that there is a power in you because of Jesus, and you begin to read this word, you will learn the truth of who he is and the truth of who you are. You'll be a learner. And you may sit under somebody's teaching, whether that's in a church setting or whether that's online or whether that's from a book, whether that's a friend, and God will ultimately use you to influence others. They were devoted to teaching, and then they were devoted to what? What's this word right here? Fellowship. Come on, y'all, say it again. Fellowship. Let me tell you what that is. That's hanging out with friends. That's all it is. That is fellowship. We hang out and have fun. And you know what's usually involved? It was in Israel at that time, and it certainly is in South Louisiana today. You know what's involved with fellowship? Food. Come on, everybody say food.
Food.
Well, I love food. Don't you love food? I'm a foodie. Anybody in here a foodie? I love food. God convicted me because I'm eating one relatively healthy meal a day. That's my fast, one relatively healthy meal a day. And like, he convicted me about like the quantity and size and deliciousness of the meal. And like, now I'm not doing that at all. Now I'm on like this not fun thing, but it was not fun for two meals of the day that I'm not eating. I love food. That's my whole point. I just said all of that to say, I really love food. Come on, somebody back me up on that. And you know what's fun? Is eating with people that you love. Isn't that true? But the only way you're going to get to love people that you don't know, this is profound. You should write this down. The only way that you'll truly ever be able to get to know people that you don't know is to get to know them. This is like 101. Can I tell you, the gospel is really simple. They devoted themselves. They were committed to learning. A lifelong learner. Then they were committed. This is fun. Listen to me carefully. This is fun. They were committed to hanging out together and eating together. How many of y'all, if I said, listen, we are doing 21 days where you're going to have to hang out with people and eat meals and have fun? How many of you would be like, cool, I do that anyway. Come on. Would y'all be like, good, because that's what the fast is, except not food right now. Maybe one meal. I don't know what it is you're fasting. We're called to be devoted to being a lifelong learner of the principles and the power of God in our lives. We are called to be devoted. You want to connect to people? Be devoted to learning more about God and other people. We need to be devoted to hanging out together. Listen to me. Like, everybody's like, we want the power of God in our church. And of course we do. But can I tell you, the real power of God happens in small groups more than it does on a platform. Because that's where lives are transformed and changed. That's where people encounter real life. Because whether we like it or not, and listen to me carefully, I don't like it, there's a level of production that takes place in every church. I sound like, let me tell you, when you go to somebody's house and it's real and their heart's exposed and it's sincere and you hang out with people who have a desire to learn more about who God is and his plan for them, and you eat together and it's relaxing and it's laid back. Listen, the real people start to come out when you eat together and you play together. Because you can't take anybody serious if they got like a big old thing of like spaghetti sauce up on their face. Can you? Like, it breaks down barriers. Y'all are quiet today. Am I making sense here? We're called to be devoted to learning, to fellowship. Put verse 42 back up. To learning, to fellowship, and to sharing in meals, and to what? Come on, say it.
Prayer.
Church is bad at praying. Bad at praying. That sounds really negative and condemning, doesn't it? I'm not trying to be. I'm trying to be factual. I mean, right now, if we could have, like, instead of tongues of fire over our heads, just a number of how many minutes a week we pray. How many of y'all be, like, reaching for your hat? Like, dang it, I knew I should have brought that in here. We're to be devoted to prayer for a few reasons. The first reason is God actually hears our prayer when our heart is right and when we're not choosing sin. We're choosing his way. God hears our prayers. That's number one. Number two, when you pray for someone, God hears your prayers, and so does that person if you're praying out loud in front of them or over the phone. And that's encouraging and life-giving to them. And here's the other reason that we should be praying. Yes, God hears our prayers. Other people hear our prayers, and it's encouraging to them. But the third reason that we should pray for each other is because there is an intimacy, not in a weird way, in a breakdown walls between each other kind of way that bring depth to the relationship, because it touches on the one thing that we all are, spiritual beings. Who do you pray with? Is your prayer life only silent and in your head? You can do that, but you're robbing yourself of tremendous blessing. You're robbing yourself of a depth of relationship. Consistently, over and over, men tell me, when I tell them, hey, you need to pray with your wife, they're like, yeah, I'm not really good at that. I remember the first time my pastor told me that I needed to, and I was like early 20s, my pastor was like, you should be kneeling before your wife and praying for her. I laughed at him. I thought he was joking. Pretty terrible, huh? I was an arrogant idiot. But there's something that happens, men, when you pray for your wives. There's not just a joining that takes place, but there's a sense of security in your wife, because she's recognizing, as you call on God, that you are not the end-all authority in the marriage. And men like to act like they have all the authority in a marriage. And let me just tell you, men, you don't. God gave us our wives, you know, yeah, there's a helpmate. No, I mean, you make it sound like an assistant. God didn't give us assistance. He gave us our wives because we literally need help. You need help. And when you refuse to call on God for help, you just put yourself in his position. Ooh, that's kind of harsh, isn't it? But it's true. It really is true. And I know, because I lived that for a lot of years, that I don't want that for you. You want to connect to people? Live devoted. Choose to be connected to the people in place of God. Be a lifelong learner together. Be devoted to eating with people and connecting with people. And the third one, praying with people. Did we put that up there? I can't remember. Devoted to prayer. And the overarching theme of all of this is, and we're going to read it in just a moment, but I'm going to put it up here. God's called us to be, is a call to live together. It's to live devoted, but to live together. Here's what I also want you to understand. Unity is not agreement. Unity is an agreement. You can live devoted to someone, and you can live together with someone, but you can fundamentally disagree on some pretty big things. Unity isn't always agreement. Now, there has to be some big things, like I know what is right and wrong because God's written it in his word. You have to agree on that. You have to agree on what the Bible says is the plan that God has for our life. We have to agree that Jesus said he's the way, the truth, the life, that he was God in human flesh, that actually that he became the sacrificial lamb, the sin, that it's Jesus. Like, we have to agree on that sort of stuff. But agreeing whether the toilet paper should go over the top or the bottom, like, I don't, like, that's a, like, you can disagree about that. If you think that unity and being devoted and living together is about agreeing on everything, you got a bad marriage or you're not married. There's nobody on the face of the earth that I disagree with more than my wife. And guess what? We're devoted and we live together and it's awesome. But we disagree about all sorts of stuff. We had a disagreement yesterday about communication and who's doing the communicating about this situation. And like, we were like at it. I'm just being transparent, okay? It all ended up fine, but it was like, you need to do it this way. You need to do it this way. And then we were like, this is ridiculous. What are we doing? We're living devoted and we're living together. We can choose to disagree. Am I stepping on people's toes? Am I sharing too much? Okay. Dear Lord, I still got, look, all right. So we got to live together. Ooh, it's hot in here. They sold their, look at what they did. They lived together. Verse 43, a deep sense of awe came on them all. The apostles performed miraculous signs and wonders. They met together in one place. They shared what they had. They sold their property, possessions. Look how crazy this is. They shared money with those in need. Are we doing that? Are we helping the people around us? Do we live a life of openness and generosity, or do we live close-handed? Because when you live close-handed, listen, all you show the world is your fists. They worshiped together at the temple. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper, shared their meals, look at this, with great joy and generosity. Chapter 3, let's go there, because here's where we see the results of togetherness, the results of connection. Here it is. Peter and John, so this is how they're living, and they're connected. I mean, they're sharing everything. They're living together. They're worshiping together. They're praying together. They're eating together. They're learning together. This is what happens. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part, and I know I'm going fast. Y'all forgive me. I'm so sorry. I know I'm going fast. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man, lame from birth, was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg for the people going into the temple. Look at this, verse 3. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Y'all following this? Pretty simple, is it? Peter and John looked at him intently and said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk." And then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. As he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, he stood on his feet, and he began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen often at the Beautiful Gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rush out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. Look at verse 12. Peter saw his opportunity, and he addressed the crowd. "People of Israel, what's so surprising about this? Why stare at us as though we'd made this man walk by our own power or godliness?" And then he begins to preach that it was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Listen, we're called to live devoted to each other, to learning of God's purpose and plan together, doing life together, praying together. And when we do that, man, really some cool stuff happens. Look at this, verse 4. This beggar is miraculously healed. Peter and John looked at him intently and said, "Look at us." Why did he say, "Look at us"? Because when you're connected to God and you're connected to people, and here's another point, it's the results of connection. When you're truly connected to God and to people, you see people as God sees them. We're wrapping up. We'll be out of here in just a few minutes, actually. But I want to give you just a few things out of this passage, because this guy gets miraculously supernaturally healed, this paralyzed guy that can't walk. gets supernaturally healed. And it's just amazing to me. Peter and John look at the guy. He's asking them for money. Hey, have you ever been in third world countries where they're begging for money? Most of the time, they're not going to look at you. They're going to sit there, and they're just going to be like, hey. And then he looks at him, hey, can you give me some money? And Peter and John say, look at me. You can start playing, teach, because it's going to help me go fast, and I need to. Look at me. When you see what God sees in people, it opens the door for the supernatural. Because you're able to get a glimpse into the reality of the situation and that there's a God that's way bigger than the devastating world around us. When you connect to God and people, you see people as God sees them. You can leave that up. I'm just going to read this, though. He looks at them, but he's expecting money. And Peter says, I don't have any silver or gold, but I'll give you what I have. And then he says, in the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. The results of connection in your life, you begin to see people as God sees them. You are able to see the real root of brokenness. You're not looking at symptoms anymore and say, well, that's an entitlement mentality, or that's a victim mentality, or those people just need to get up off their lazy keister. Listen, I understand. But it lets us see the root. It lets us see the why. But it doesn't just give us the why. It gives us the what. The what God wants to do. Connection to God and people. You see people as God sees them. And then you're able to give. Here's what it is. Put it up there. You give. Can we put that up there? You give to others what God has given to you. Freedom, life, the ability to walk through life as he's called you to. And the guy's supernaturally, miraculously healed, and he's freaking out. Like, oh my God, I'm gonna walk. Now, is that better than a few bucks? Yes or no? Completely, because God is the one, when we connect to him and to godly people and we live connected both ways, we're able to see people as they actually are. We see the why of what's going on. But more than that, we see what God wants to do. And then we're able to give to others what God's given to us in those areas of freedom. What has God given you? Where's your freedom? Is it from anger? Is it from addiction? Where's your freedom? Is it from control? Is it overcoming fear? Because you'll be able to see that in other people and call them to the place of faith because you've spent time with God and with his people. Am I making sense here? And this guy is freaking out, like, oh my gosh, I'm healed. And then like people are like, that's the dude that was paralyzed. He's a beggar. What's he doing running around? And then look at this. Look, now we're gonna go to this verse, verse 12. Peter saw his opportunity and he addressed the crowd. Because the results of connection. Come on, put that last one up. No, what are we doing? Put the last one up. The last one on the thing. There we go. Thank you. You seize God opportunities. You seize God opportunities. This is the second time that Peter steps out and he seizes the opportunity. Listen to me carefully. God wants to use everybody here to reach those who are hurt and broken. And the reason that the church is bad at it is not because God isn't powerful. It's because we're not taking serious our connection to him and to other people. Because it is what opens heaven is when we say, I'm going to connect to you, God, and we do it. And then we say, I'm going to connect to other people that I may not even agree with, or I may not even know. But I tell you this, if you pray together, if you eat together, if you learn together, God's going to knit you into what is a reality, a spiritual family. He sees the opportunity. And I'm going to end it with this. The end of his message, he says this in verse 19, and we can put that up there. Peter says, now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. Look at verse 20. Look at this. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord. He'll again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah. This is what stuck with me. If you feel depleted, if you feel wiped out, If you feel drained, refreshment comes when we turn from our way and we turn to God. And God's way is connection to Him and to others. So y'all probably saying to yourself, some of y'all are like, man, is that all he's preaching? Yes, it is all I'm preaching, because it's what God told me to preach, because I need to be connected to Him and I need to be connected to people. And this is what I've found to be true in the last year. Can I tell y'all this just very transparently? When you disconnect from people, it's real hard to stay connected to God, because God's primary concern in this world is, guess what it is? It's people. And maybe you're here and you need to know this. When you live connected, you experience refreshing. Let's bow our heads. Maybe you're hearing you say, Pastor, this message was for me. I've not been connected to either God or people. I don't know which one it is. Let me tell you, if you're disconnected from God or you're disconnected from people, and especially if you're disconnected from both, life becomes a drain. Maybe you're here and you need refreshing. How do we do that? Well, Peter was really, really clear. We turn from our ways, by the way, that's sin. We turn from that and we turn to God and we realize God breathes on us. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, this message was for me. Pray for me. I'm not gonna embarrass you, but I don't wanna pray for you. If you're here and say, Pastor, that's me, just raise your hand right now. This is my message, I know it. Come on, raise them high, don't be ashamed. Raise them high, keep them up. Father, I pray right now for those with their hands raised, that you meet them, that you bring refreshing in Jesus' name. Lord, I just pray that there's a deep connection, there's a devotion that takes place in their life to you and to people. God, I just pray that you make, I know that you've made a place for them. May they see the next step on what that place is, and may they step into it with boldness. Father, no coincidence that today in our fasting, we're praying for strength, and I pray just supernatural strength to step in the place of devotion and connection to you and to other people in their life. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Come on, can we celebrate that? Listen. If God did something in you, and you know that there's that moment where you pray, like you pray, God, I'm surrendering to you, I'm turning to you, Jesus. He's made a place for you, and so have we. And if God did something in you, let me encourage you to do just a couple things before we head out. Don't pack up, we're out in less than a minute. Take that connection card or take the app and connect with us and let us know what's going on. Take that connection card where it says, today I've decided. Check one of those things off, or write a prayer request, or write and let us know what's going on. And then we can see the crosses projected on the side walls. If we can put those up. And then our ministry team members, you guys can head there now. If you need prayer, and if you raise your hand, you probably do, connect with somebody. Go pray with somebody. But take that card to them, or drop it in the boxes by the doors on the way out, or bring it to the Connection Center. And if you're a guest, we have a cool gift for you. My heart is you connect. You connect. Listen, we're about a month away, I think. What's today? Yeah, we're a month away from small groups starting. Get plugged in. It's not too late to host either. Get plugged into life-giving relationship. Can I tell you why? Because you connect to God, you're connecting to people, but at the end of the day, it's fun and it's family. Why don't we stand on our feet? Did y'all have a good time this morning? Good. Father, I just pray that we just live connected to you. I pray your grace and your blessing over everyone here, that we live connected to you and to each other, that, Lord, there's a depth of relationship, just interpersonally, and a spiritual family, because we're devoted to each other, but mostly we're devoted to you. And so, Father, may you be glorified. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Love you guys. Y'all are dismissed. If you need prayer, you come. Have a great Sunday.